Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan and I'm joined every week by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, so much going on. We got baseball regionals. We've just got it all going on. Major League Baseball, golf sectional today in the state of Indiana. Of course, I guess we better explain that to those that don't live in the state of Indiana. We do not have the Pacers to talk about anymore. Well, I guess we do. Who's the point guard going to be next year?
I don't know, Joe. I'm still sweating from last night's game between the Heat and the Spurs. It's like I'm in San Antonio in that arena that had no air conditioning going, 90-plus degrees, 20,000 people packed in there. And what a game to start out that NBA series. I'm sad that it wasn't the Pacers, but still the Heat and the Spurs put on a heck of a show, although I will say this. In the first half, the Spurs were sloppy. They had a lot of turnovers. I think 10, 11 turnovers in the first half alone. But overall, it was like throwback basketball. For those who didn't see the game, and for those who were watching it, it was like throwback basketball. You're in this gym. It's like summertime hoops when you're growing up. And these guys get paid $20 million a year. These fans sitting there trying to fan themselves to get through the game, only making their body temperature warmer as they use the motion of their body to fan themselves. But they probably didn't pay attention in health or biology class. But it was a great game, Joe. It was 90-plus degrees. LeBron James has to leave with about 4 minutes left or so with cramps. You could tell in the fourth quarter he was struggling. They showed him a couple times on the bench, and you could just tell that he was in a physical struggle. But the Heat hold on. And I do want to talk a little bit about the game and all the LeBron excuses that people had for him and against him. But overall, the NBA Finals started off very hot. Kind of ironic that the Heat are in this and failed to handle the Heat. But, Joe, were you able to catch any of the Spurs hot box game with the Heat?
No, I was not home, but I did get some recaps on the game, and found out this morning, that LeBron had the cramp problem, and I felt really bad for him. Yeah, I really did. I'm a humongous Heat fan, you know.
Well, I didn't feel sorry for him from the standpoint of wanting the Spurs to win, but I will say this before we talk about some of the other things coming up on the show as we go through this first segment. I will say this, and Joe, you know this from being an athlete, and the same for me. I mean, not at a high level. It doesn't matter what level you're at. When you get a cramp or cramps, folks, there is no way that LeBron James, if he was cramping at the time, when you get the severe cramps, you cannot play. I don't care what sport it is. You can't move your leg, your calf, your foot, the inside of your arch, your thigh, your hams. When you get those cramps in your legs, it is debilitating. I think that's the best word, Joe, debilitating. You are just unable in any way or shape to move forward to do anything that you are doing. You are totally debilitated. Would you not agree with that?
Oh yeah, I agree. I've had them before back in the day, and it rules your mind and your life, and you don't think of a whole lot less, much more. It really does. But you do realize that I am I was kidding, and I am not a Heat fan, right? And that I am a major Spurs fan right now. you know, I hold grudges, and you know, so I go Spurs. I hope the air conditioning stays broke. Maybe they got to keep it off.
Well, some people said that. They said, watch him show up for Sunday's game and the air conditioning will still be off. It is amazing, though, and some of our listeners, if you have any thoughts or ideas on it, please feel free to text the show or call us at 773-897-6325. But when you think about these pro athletes, I mean, NBA athletes, they're just at the top of the scale when it comes to conditioning, physical ability, being in shape. But even, you know, they play a demanding schedule throughout the season. I mean, they play a lot of games, and the playoffs are long. But they're used to playing in temperature-controlled arenas, practice facilities. You know, back in the day, gymnasiums didn't have air conditioning. You played outside. You got used to the heat and humidity. And these guys have top-level trainers. They're taught how to hydrate themselves, keep their body at full hydration levels for these long playoff series. LeBron James is a unique athlete, but he's also one of those players, folks, that's asked to do everything and more out on the floor. He doesn't just play offense. He doesn't just stand in the post. He plays both ends of the court hard at all times. He doesn't take any play off. And his body, just through the heat exchange, the dehydration that went on, it was amazing. You're talking about not only 90-plus degrees, but you're talking about 20,000 people packed in there, body heat, breath, drawing off everything in that arena. It is amazing, and it's interesting that players that have played as much as they played, one, you had the best player on the floor come up cramping. The other guys just had to find a way, and the Spurs were able to do that and win that game. As Joe said, it isn't the Pacers. The Pacers have to figure out what they need for next year. I will go on record, as I have on the show, they need a point guard. Yes, absolutely they do. And they need a floor leader. And whether that floor leader is a point guard, too, we'll have to see. But Paul George, who just got Joe, Paul George raised contractual raise based on a clause because he was named on one of the NBA all-pro teams. He was third-team all-pro, all-NBA. It automatically caused a clause in his contract to kick in, and he will get a $7 million increase going forward on his contract because of his all-NBA status. Folks, I don't know if you're like me, and you should be, but if Paul George can get a $7 million contract increase for being named to the third team, all-NBA, then he can become more of a floor and team leader, meaning a captain, a team leader on and off the court, somebody that for direction, somebody that the people look to as far as their leader on the floor. And I truly hope that this happens because, Joe, I don't see a lot of players out there, and I could be wrong. Maybe you've got somebody on your short list. I don't see a lot of players that the Pacers will be able to bring in. Whether they keep Lance Stephenson or not from the standpoint that he is a free agent, I don't see a lot of players that the Pacers can bring in. Is there somebody that you've got on your short list? If some of our listeners have a short list of players they think the Pacers can bring in to help them, not just as a player, but a leader on the floor. Joe, do you have anybody that comes to mind that you say, this guy is who the Pacers need and they can get him?
I don't know if they can get him, but I'd love to have Rondo. I'd love to have, believe it or not, a Purdue guy saying Eric Gordon. You know, there's some people out there that I'd like, but I don't know if any of them are attainable. But I just think they need a floor leader. They need someone that can – that I just don't think that – George Hill, you keep him on the roster, but I don't – I just don't see that he's that playmaker, difference maker that they need. But also, getting back to Paul George just for a second, it's great that he was third team. But, you know, in this playoffs, for the most part, I was pretty disappointed with the way he played.
Well, I don't disagree with you because, you know, he had the big game five. I mean, he was huge. He was huge in the fourth quarter. But when you just spread out the playoffs through all the rounds, here's a guy that went into the All-Star game. Joe, think about this. Listeners, think about this. Even if you're over in Qatar right now, think about this. Paul George went into the All-Star break. And people were calling him one of the three or five MVPs of the league, calling him a match, not at the same level, but a match of the type of skill potential of a LeBron James. And, folks, that just did not materialize in the second half or down the stretch. Is he a great talent? Absolutely. Would he kick my butt one-on-one? No question about it. I'd be lucky to score unless I threw up one of my 35-footers and it banked in. But my point is, here's a guy that the Pacers will probably be paying 30%. Listen to the number I just said. Will probably be paying 30% of their total team salary to. We need to expect 20 points from him, 7 rebounds, assists and steals, but we also need to expect some leadership as well as off-court leadership. Frank Vogel aside, Larry Bird aside, everybody claims this is a player's league. Joe, I'm not always so sure if I understand what they mean when they say, well, you know, the NBA is a players' league. Yes, the league is a players' league. It's a players' league in the NBA more than any other sport. I'm not sure I know what that means. Owners own the team. Coaches coach the team. Yes, coaches get fired quickly before players, but that happens in every sport, every professional sport. But if it is a players' league, then Paul George needs to be a leader of the Pacers players, correct, Joe, or not?
Oh, I agree. I totally agree. I think that when you say players league, you know, I think that that's probably what hurts them with people like the true basketball fan, because it is a player league and it's focused just on the LeBron James of the world. And, you know, the true basketball fan would love to see there be no illegal defense, for there to be a way to beat the Heat, you know, but it's just set up for, you're exactly right, for the player first, where it's a players league. I don't like it. I mean, I like the Pacers, but I honestly follow Purdue, IU, Jasper, high school basketball, et cetera, a lot more than I do the pros. I casually watch a pro game until the playoffs. Have you watched a whole NBA game this regular season? Coach, are you there?
I can tell. Yeah, Joe, I'm here. I was just thinking from the standpoint of all the things you're talking about, even when I'm live at an event, unless I'm there for the purpose of learning any game on TV, listen on radio, or even live, all the way through. And you can say, well, you're in the arena, how can you not be watching? Because you're talking to other people, you've got your cell phone with you. But when I watch a pro game, Joe, I marvel at the level of basketball that's played. I also marvel at the lack of fundamentals and officials making the routine calls of traveling and those types of things as well. But having said that, when I watch LeBron James play, he's just a great player. He does things that most people can't do, but he also does things the right way. Tim Duncan's the same way. Tony Parker. But you're talking about a players' league. Well, LeBron James is a leader on the floor. Dwayne Wade is a leader on the floor. And you could say, well, what do you mean by that? You know, he's been injured. He kind of follows what LeBron. That's a leader. A person, listen, folks, a person who is able to be what I call a servant leader is a leader. In other words, he understands that the best way he can lead, be a leader on the team, is to follow the lead of someone else. That is a leader, because the people that fall in behind him and follow along, in essence, they're following Dwayne Wade's lead as well. And Joe, I know that you understand this as well. There are going to be certain players on a team that have the charisma, have the mental toughness, have the personality that people just seem to focus and gravitate to. There are other people on the team that are just a notch below that person. If they were on any other team, they'd be the leader. But it takes a leader, takes a true team player, it takes a leader to understand that his position may be number two. And I think Dwayne Wade understands that. Chris Bosh is very comfortable not being a leader. But to just focus in on your point, Joe, I understand what you're saying. You get more emotionally involved in the high school games and the college games. So do I. But I do love watching the NBA. If you really watched last night's game, and we'll get off this in just this last statement, unless you have something to add, Joe. If you really watched last night's game, if you watched the Spurs pass the basketball, didn't always look at what the end result was, but if you watched how they passed the basketball, 3, 4, 5 passes, I'm telling you right now, Indiana University, take note. High school coaches, take note. High school players, little Reese Milligan, who's an exceptional guard at his age. Ball movement breaks down defenses, makes beautiful basketball. The Spurs move it from one side to the other. They kick it in. They kick it out. And guess what? Then they get a dribble penetration. And then they kick it off again. And that's what makes Coach Popovich's offense, his style of play. Is he the greatest coach ever? No, he's not the greatest coach ever. Does he have a great ability to get the best out of the players that are assembled with him, and having Tim Duncan for 16 years doesn't hurt? Absolutely. Joe, the Spurs are poetry in motion when they're moving that basketball.
Yeah, they're a veteran team. You can tell they've played together a lot, and they're playing with a sole purpose. They want to win, you know. You know, the thing about them is, I know all their players, but not one always it really sticks out to me. They're all just it's just an ensemble of players that go out there and just do a great job.
You're absolutely right. They do a great job. It's an ensemble of players. It's like an orchestra. Those of you into music, it's like an orchestra. You can't get beautiful music out of an orchestra unless everybody's working together, playing their note properly, coming in at the right time, not too loud, not too soft. And you might say, Coach K, what do you know about orchestras? Not much, folks. Not much. I got an old wooden flute in there I'll play once in a while. But not much. But I do know good music when I hear it. And I do know good basketball when I see it. And I do know good football when I watch it, because the line's blocking properly and people are running their routes correctly. I do understand that, and so do you. And if you want to enjoy basketball being played by a team, watch the Spurs. That's why they're in the finals again. They don't have the most talent. They have talent. They have lots of talent. They don't have the best player. They have some pretty good players, but they know how to bring it together. It takes a lot of work. You know, I saw Pop that's just chewing Danny Green out last night. on the sideline, just chewing him out. And I mean, probably words I can't, well, I could repeat it on the internet, but it wouldn't be very nice of me. They were tough words. They were bombs. They were the F-bombs coming out. And Green, they understand each other. You know, right or wrong, whether you like the way he talks or not, they understand each other. Okay, here's what we got coming up on the show, folks. We got a few minutes before we take our first break. Head coach of Southridge baseball team, sectional champions for the first time in 36 years. Joe will be talking to him coming up after our first break. And, Joe, it's pretty exciting over there in Huntingburg, Holland area. You know, Southridge has had a great year athletics-wise from boys football, boys basketball, girls sports, and now their baseball team. They finally got to host the IHSA baseball sectional at League Stadium. Don't tell me home field doesn't help. They won their first baseball sectional in 36 years, I think.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was great to talk to Dave. You know, I used to see about just about every day for years. I very rarely get to see, and it was a great interview. And you know, Coach, I took credit, you know, for it. I coached with Dave. We coached Raider baseball back in the early 1990s, and I told him, I said, Dave, you know, I'm taking partial credit for this. And he laughed and he said he knew I would, kind of like you probably would. That would have been a comment you probably would have made. But do you know, Dave and I, while I was at Southridge, we used to go play St. Meinrad College in basketball, and we had to Coach Winkler, one of the Southridge basketball coaches, was the coach of St. Meinrad, and we used to put a team together every year to go down there and play, and we couldn't come up with a name, and I wanted to call it the River Rats because he's from Tell City. He wanted to call it the Krauts, so we came up with the River Krauts, and then we had to have a team name, a town name, so Coach Williams lived in Duff, so we became the Duff River Krauts. And guess who the all-time leader is in scoring for the Duff River Krauts?
I'm sure you're going to tell me.
Scott Rowland. He played with us one year.
Well, that's awesome.
And, needless to say, we gave the ball to him, and all of us old guys got out of the way.
And to bring everything back around, as Joe has tried to take credit for all that has gone on and change the whole story, Dave Shank, head coach of the Southridge Raider baseball team, sectional champ, after 36 years, will be coming up in an interview when we go to our first break. And, folks, hopefully the interview is about Raider baseball and not Joe Milligan and the Duff River Rats or whatever.
River Krauts, come on.
Whatever crap he's spewing right now. Before we go to our first break, I also want to mention that Jeff Cochran will be with us. Of course, he's our contributor, comes to the Cincinnati Reds, and the Reds just, I don't know. I can hit better than the Reds can right now. Of course, they'd like to have Joey Votto back, but you got to be able to drive in more runs than what they're doing. Pitching hasn't been bad. They're still below .500. I think it's way early in the season, not time to panic, but we'll hear what Jeff has to say about that. And before we go to this first break and come back with Coach Shank, I do want to mention and give big kudos, and I'm sure Joe's going to try to take credit for this somewhere, folks. USI, University of Southern Indiana, Screaming Eagle baseball team, won their second national championship. They bring home to Evansville the Division II National Championship in baseball. We want to give Coach Archuleta and his group a lot of credit to be able to do it once, now to be able to do it twice, especially when they started out with a loss. They started it all out with a loss and then went on to sweep it all the way through from there. Major League Baseball draft was held yesterday. We'll talk a little bit about that later in the show, but I do want to mention that University of Evansville had one of their pitchers, Freeland. He was drafted number 8. And IU had their catcher drafted by the Chicago Cubs. Oh, my, it should have been a Purdue player. He was drafted 4th. He's going to the Cubs. So some area connections, at least in Indiana, going to Major League Baseball draft. And I'm sure Joe will tell us later how many Purdue baseball players were drafted. Folks, we're going to go to our first break. When we come back, Dave Shank, head man for the Southridge Raiders, sectional champs for the first time in 30-plus years, home field can be an advantage. You're listening to Friday's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Kent Benson, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And welcome back to the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe, and Coach is taking a little break. He's been a long-winded once again and needs to rest his gums because they've just been flapping the whole show. But I'll tell you what, I'm excited about our next guest. We've got Southridge teacher, coached many sports at Southridge, been successful, co-founder of the Duff River Krauts, and Southridge baseball coach, and now Southridge sectional champion baseball coach, Dave Shank. Dave, how are you doing today?
Doing great. I'm glad to be here.
That's good. Hey, I tell you what, it's excited that you guys won the tournament, and it's, I know that Huntingburg's all abuzz and all fired up, and I'd say there might be as many people from Southridge and Jasper on Saturday than there is actually in the cities of Holland and Huntingburg.
Well, we hope so. We were very impressed and want to thank the crowd for coming out, Tuesday night, Monday. Rain delay and there's a lot of other things going on, but very impressive crowd, and they hung around and celebrated with us on the field. I guess there's been a lot of people waiting for a long time to get a chance to celebrate and be part of that. So great crowd, and we hope they travel, to Jasper on Saturday, and I think they will.
Now, Dave, we have a very local flavor since we're stationed in Jasper, but we also have a statewide audience. And, before we start talking about the Southridge Raider baseball team, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Dave Shank and your coaching experience since you've arrived at Huntingburg?
Well, when I first came to Huntingburg many years ago, I think 22 years ago, they had an assistant baseball job open. And so, I was a young guy. I was looking for a job, so I took it. And me and Gary Meyer coached together for a pretty good while, had some good teams and good players. So when Gary stepped down, I was a head coach for 4 years there. Once again, had good teams and good players, and just never could get that great season, get that big win in the sectional, even though in my 4 years we lost four sectional championships, and each year it was by one run. So it was a little bit painful there, including one year where Modern Day beat us by one run, and they went 10 run themselves all the way to a state title. So, there's been some painful memories, but I coached for 4 years there, and that gave me 10 total, and I stepped out for a while and, went to coach, spend more time with family and coach my son's t-ball kind of stuff and did that and just stayed involved in wrestling and football, so it's not like I got out of coaching. I just got out of baseball for a while. And now, when the job came open, when Coach Wibbler stepped down, it just seemed right to get back in and a good group of kids and And I know them all personally, and I coached them in middle school football, and I just knew it would be a good time to get back in.
Okay, you know, you've got a really young team. You just have, I think, three seniors, right?
Right, three seniors.
Yep. Okay, and, you know, when did you start, you know, at the start of the season, you know, you everyone has goals and ambitions, and when did you start thinking that this team might have be a special team that, you know, that possibly might be able to capture a sectional crown?
Well, I started thinking it before I ever took the job, you know, because I knew these boys, and they had, you know, great success back in Little League, this group of juniors. And, you know, they've been a good group throughout, very athletic in football and really all of their endeavors. So, you know, before I ever took the job, I thought this is or could be the team that they could bring home, you know, the first sectional championship in a long time. And to be perfectly honest with you, if I didn't think that going in, there's no way I would have taken the job. Didn't want to get back into it just to be okay or mediocre. I just knew that this was a group that if we could improve a little bit, if we could get the pitching we've been getting, then we could win some games. And, you know, with the pitching that was stacked up there and just the boys, I knew that right out of the gate, before the season ever started, that this could be the team.
Okay, you know, in the sectional, you pitched two juniors. You pitched, Jacob Brewer and Luke Stutter? And tell
right.
us about a little bit about each of them and about the rest of your pitching staff.
Well, yeah, those two guys are, and you know, Jacob Brewer, he's kind of one of those play year-round baseball kind of guys. He'll go down to Florida and Alabama and places like that in wintertime and play as part of a group. And, you know, he's played for, you know, some of the summer programs that are, you know, very astute programs. And so, you know, he was accomplished. But last year as sophomores, you know, they played a big role, but maybe not as much as we were going to need them this year. But they just had to prove themselves. And, you know, probably beginning of the year, Luke was our number one. He pitched great last year. I got to see him pitch a few times. Jacob just maybe had some control issues, maybe some confidence issues, but both of those guys have been rock steady, you know, all year long. I would still probably consider them kind of like pro number one for us. And then, you know, we do have a senior, Chad O'Brien, 6'8" kid, good athlete, good basketball player. He's had a fantastic year. He's 4-0, and his ERA is a little bit higher. He's got great stuff as well. I wouldn't feel bad about, you know, there's a lot of teams that would love to have him as their number one, but the two left-handers just are, they don't get phased, they don't get rattled, they always throw strikes, you know, and kind of just command the mound. I believe that Chad can do that. I'm hoping that he goes to college at Lincoln Trail next year and does just that. Neil Messmer is another one. When he's not playing second base or center field for us, he can come in, always throw strikes. And Peyton Mattingly, even though just a sophomore, he's got a real nice record this year and is a good thrower. So, you know, this year we've got the pitching, and next year we're actually going to have it too.
Okay, you know, defense is also a very important part of the game of baseball, and you've got a really strong defense. What makes the Raiders'
right.
defense so special? And also, tell us a little bit about your infield and outfield.
Well, I read an article from that Darren Ernstad is a new coach, or Nebraska coach, and, you know, he was a major leaguer. And I read an article earlier this year where he talked about how they stress defense. They make it the most important part of the practice. And we started doing that from the get-go, knowing that we had a great pitching staff. It was important that I got all the other coaches on board and basically said, we are going to focus on our defense. And, you know, we've played fantastic defense throughout this this entire year. Connor Craig's one of our, you know, he's one of our flashy guys. He's a shortstop, and boy, can he has an amazing glove. And, of course, most people know he's a heck of a running back as well. But can get to just about any ball. He does lead our team in errors, but he's supposed to at the shortstop. He just does a great job. Neil Messmer and Andrew Recker both kind of switch time at second base when Luke is pitching. Neil goes to center and Andrew plays second, and they've had just tremendous years. First base is normally Brewer, but when he's pitching, we put Chad Meyer there. And, you know, Chad's very solid. And at third base, most of the year has been Peyton Mattingly. He's just a sophomore. And Logan Salmon, he's a senior. He's early in the year especially. He spent a lot of time over there until, you know, Peyton, you know, got it going. So just a really solid infield. I think our total team defense is 950. Now, I couldn't tell you whether that was really good or not, but my assistant coach, Gene Mattingly, he's our infield coach, if you will, and he says that's pretty good, so I'm going to take his word for it.
Okay, Brett Nordhoff is your catcher, and, you know, being the catcher, quarterback on the field, what makes Brett such a strong leader on the field?
Because he's a middle linebacker, he's been the catcher for this group since they've started playing. They've always followed his cue from the get-go this year. He was our team captain, and he leads our warm-ups, and he tells everybody what they're going to do, and they don't question it. They just do it. Now, I don't think it's necessarily out of fear. It's just out of respect, and he does a fantastic job of handling the staff and putting on our defensive plays. He's just been, and I knew coming in he was a pretty solid catcher. I'd watched him before and knew he would do a good job. But calling ball games, rarely do I even have to get involved in that. And it's so nice for a coach to just be able to watch the game and kind of make sure your infielders and outfielders in the right spot and don't have to dedicate the entire, you know, game to calling pitches. He can do that on his own, and that's awesome.
Okay, you know, I played outfield in high school, and outfielders have always had a special place in my heart. Tell me a little bit about your outfield.
Well, our outfields, you know, they've had a great year, too. You know, just going around the horn, Guadalupe Perez, we call him G-Man, he plays left field for us, and he's a real solid player. Last year he played a lot of third base, but with Peyton stepping up and Peyton batting so well that, you know, we had to find a spot for him, so he's in at third. And we moved G-Man to the outfield, and he struggled with the bat a little bit kind of early on, but boy, can he, you know, he can track it down and has a real strong arm in left field. We let William Gutzel, he's a senior, he's been DHing for him, and William's had a real nice year too, batting over 400. So, you know, that's worked out perfectly there. Our center fielder has been Luke Stetter. Of course, when Luke pitches, we move Neil out there. Both of those guys, super fast, get good jumps on the ball. And Jeremiah Mundy plays right field for us, and he has pretty well all year. And kind of deceptively fast, but a real nice, strong arm. He has a few, you know, assists. And you know, we'll go get balls that when they're first hit off the bat, you don't think anybody's going to get them. But you put those three guys out there, any combination of them, and they really have done a great job of going and getting balls and getting the ball back into, you know, a ball that might be a triple is just a double, and a lot of times a ball that should be a double is just a single.
Now, you know, you've coached the Stetter brothers, Mitch and Luke, and tell me
right.
A little bit about what are the differences and similarities of the two?
Well, the differences between those two is Mitch was a lot taller, albeit skinny. You know, Luke is not a built boy by no means, but he's not afraid of the weight room. I don't know if I ever saw Mitch walk in a weight room. If he does it, he must have dropped something in there. But, you know, so they're different. They're just in their size. But the similarities, I think they pitch a lot, similar, even a similar windup and delivery. I don't remember Mitch working as fast as Luke does. Luke gets the ball sometimes, and he's just ready to throw it again right now. I don't remember Mitch being like that, but they are very similar in just their delivery. Now, that's before Mitch dropped down and became somewhat of a submarine pitcher. He developed that pro ball. But when he was pitching in high school and even college, you know, they very similar windup. And I've told people this, and I don't know if they believe me much, but I'll say it again, even publicly. I think the same age, you know, as a junior in high school, I think Luke's better than what Mitch was. I'd say that to Mitch if he was here. And that's good. That bodes well for Luke. He's sure, you know, the sky's the limit with his potential. I do think he'll go on to play college baseball somewhere. You know, after that, I don't know, but he definitely has the potential to, to be something special.
Okay, on Saturday, you play number 4 Silver Creek in your first game at the regional at Ruxer Field. You know, they sit
right
at 23-7 for the season, but you guys have a great record at 20-4. What are going to be the keys to pulling out a victory in that game?
The same as they've been all year. We have to get the good pitching, and I think we will, and we have to find a way to go out and scratch across a couple runs. That has been our, in all of the big games we've played in, I've known that I can give the ball to one of those left-handers and sometimes to Chad or others and say, listen, you go out there and throw a great game, and we'll limit their offense, and then we need to find a way to get on base and to move around and get a few. I thought all along that we would have to score, you know, 3 or 4 runs against a good quality team like Jasper or Gibson Southern and teams like that. And except for a few games this year, we have been able to get on base and score enough runs to get it done. And, you know, go 7-1 in the PAC and to beat Jasper and Washington in a sectional is a testament to that. We're really not worried about what Silver Creek can do. We're just really concerned about what we have to do. I'm no doubt in my mind they're a good team, but I know that Jacob Brewer is going to be hard to hit, and whoever they throw out there, I'm just hoping that we can scratch across a couple ruts.
Okay, Dave, you know, thanks for joining us, and you do know that I'm taking a little bit of credit since I was your JV assistant back in the early 90s,
right,
don't you?
Well, you should. I mean, obviously there were some techniques there that rubbed off that we've been able to use to win big games.
Well, I tell you what, good luck tomorrow, and here's
okay
to talking to you again next week after a regional championship.
We sure hope so. We want to keep moving on, and we know we've got the potential to do that, so we're pretty excited about the opportunity. But thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you, Dave. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? We'll team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Great interview with Dave Shank, head man for the Southridge Raiders baseball team. First sectional in over 30 years. In 30 years, 36 years. And Joe did a great job talking with Coach Shank. Something about it was great to hear how Coach Shank had stepped away from baseball, took some time out to raise his family, came back. And his love of the game, his love of coaching, as well as teaching, brought him back into the game. And he had an opportunity to work with some young men that he knew had the potential to be successful, and they joined together, and they got that done. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we'll have Jeff Cochran. I know he's ready to go talk about the Reds, but before we do that, I do want to comment about some big salaries that have been going on. Just want to touch base. I'm not gonna push it into the ground in any way, shape, or form. John Calipari, coach of the Kentucky Wildcats, the guy is an outstanding coach, outstanding recruiter, and he's a hustler, folks. Just a hustler. He's been able to get a contract extension, 7-year deal with Kentucky. They're going to pay him about $52 million. Saban's not doing much worse down in Alabama for the Crimson Tide. He's going to make about $6.9 million. Colin Kaepernick, San Francisco quarterback. Sometimes he looks great. Sometimes you just don't know. He signs a contract worth $110 million, 60 of it guaranteed. But the salaries of these college coaches not only rival the professional coaches in the same sport, they go far past them. They have really put themselves in a position, some of these college coaches, not all of them, but some of them, to make enormous amounts of money. Not $2, $3, $4 million. We're talking $6, $7, $8 million. And I know the assistant coach that left Indiana University to go to coach on Rick Pitino's staff, he's going to make over $300,000, almost $400,000 as a college assistant at U of L. So the opportunity's there. If you win, if you recruit well, your alumni supporters have deep pockets. And, folks, I'm not begrudging these guys. If they can make this kind of money, then our next guest, our next contributor, Jeff Cochran, he can make this kind of money. Talk about Reds baseball. Jeff, welcome to the show.
If I can, Ken, I'm in the wrong business. But thank you.
Well, we know there are some Reds baseball players making this kind of money. Whether they're playing the way they need to earn it is another story. And I know you're a lifelong Reds fan. You follow them in Major League Baseball religiously. There's a lot of Red fans out there starting to get a little panicky. One thing I noted about a week ago, Jeff, was their manager, Brian Price, he looked a little frustrated, a little almost agitated during the interview process, not from the question, just talking about the Reds and their inability to hit the baseball, score runs, things like that. I think he's a young manager, obviously, experience-wise. He may want to be more patient. But right now, for the Red fans who are getting a little nervous, the Cardinal fans that are loving it, your thoughts on the Reds at this point?
Well, I don't know how much the Cardinal fans are loving it, because they're really struggling as well. They're not the same baseball team they were last year either. The Reds are 7.5 out at this point. One of the writers in Cincinnati, Paul Doherty, refers to them being in hamster wheel mode, because they'll run off a two or three game streak, and that's what they did this past weekend. They won three straight in Arizona, and then won the opening game of the series against the San Francisco Giants, and then turn around and lose the next two games at home to the Giants. So they might win three, but they'll lose three, and they just cannot gain any ground on either the Brewers or the Cardinals at this point. And what's frustrating is, you know, when you look at their starting pitching, which has been outstanding even despite the loss of Matt Latos for a prolonged period of time, their defense has been outstanding. It's the number one defensive team in all of baseball right now. Their bullpen's been a little shaky, but the one thing that has not produced is the offense. And they are 25th in hitting. They are 28th in batting average with runners in scoring position. They are dead last, batting a whopping 169 with the bases loaded. So this is not a team that hits well, and it's not a team that hits well at all situationally. And that's been a major problem for them thus far this season.
Well, we're about a third of the season through. They have not scored runs. In fact, I saw a comparison the other day that they were on pace. They compared them with a couple other years that had similar run production. Both those teams had losing records, did not make the playoffs, obviously. But, you know, I contend a good friend of mine and somebody you know and a former Red for a few years, you know, Scott Rowland would probably say it's a long season. And, you know, we're just touching that part of it. And when I look at the division itself, Jeff, you've got Milwaukee, St. Louis, who has struggled. They're 31-29. At one point, I think they lost seven in a row. So they're barely above 500 after struggling. Pittsburgh is below 500, a little bit ahead of the Reds. This is not a division where the Reds are at. If they catch fire, they can't make up that ground and get back on the top. I mean, this is a division that I believe, at least the way it looks, is pretty balanced, and anybody who catches fire has a chance to move up quickly.
No question. This is an eminently winnable division. The Brewers still have not really had a major losing streak at this point in the season, and I think that's something everybody expects. They were a team that was not projected to even contend for the title or the division title, and they've really led wire to wire. They have really got off to a great start. I think their starting pitching has been much better than people anticipated, and their hitters with Ryan Braun, juiced or not juiced, coming back off his 70-game-plus suspension. It's good to have a guy like that in the lineup, and I think that's really helped the Brewers get off to such a great start. With the Reds, you're just looking at a situation where they just can't hit. And you know, we knew coming into the season that they had to be everything had to go right, and they have had so many injuries. But even the guys they have healthy, you know, Ryan Ludwig is coming off shoulder surgery. He's 36 years old. That is never a good equation to have as your third or fourth or fifth place hitter in your lineup. It's always tough to come back from shoulder surgery. And you mentioned Scott, and I know that he struggled with bad shoulders for a while. And you're right, it's a long season. Scott Rowland always referred to the season as the big 162. And the Reds are barely 60 games into this season. Not quite 60 games this season, so there's still plenty of baseball to be played.
You know, one of the things that I would bring up to you, Jeff, and I'm sure some of the other fans have noted, I mean, even the Reds announcers noted it. I was watching a game the other night, Billy Hamilton, who the Reds are hoping will catch fire, get on those bases and steal some bases, put them in position to score some runs. He had gotten on first base. It was early in the game, third, fourth inning, and Frazier comes up, and I'm not criticizing Todd Frazier from the standpoint of his play. He's played hard. He's done a good job for the Reds. But he comes up, and he swings at the first pitch he sees. It's a high fastball. Even though he is I call him the best bad ball hitter I've seen around. Doesn't really hit the good pitches, but he hits the bad pitches. It's a high fastball, grounds it to the shortstop, double play, or second baseman double play, two outs. Hamilton never gets a chance to have the opportunity to get that extra base with his speed. The announcers noted it. I noted it immediately. Todd was going to see another fastball somewhere in the count. Are these some of the indications of a team that maybe there's some fundamental things they're not focused on, they're not taking advantage of when they're struggling to score runs? Is this an indication of a team that maybe has to reevaluate some things besides the fact they're not getting the big home run or the big double, but maybe it's some of the other fundamental parts of offensive baseball they may not be doing consistently enough?
No question. I think that this is a team with a not very high baseball IQ, and that is a prime example. When you've got a guy that can run like Billy Hamilton, and yeah, he probably ran him out of a rally the other day when he got caught trying to steal third base. But Billy Hamilton is a rookie and really has frankly exceeded the Reds' expectations. He's hitting about 270 and has really changed the ball game when he gets on first base. He has caused more throwing errors. He has stolen upwards of 20 bases in a very short period of time, and I think he's exceeded the Reds' expectations. But again, in a situation like that, the Reds hitters have to give him a chance to advance. If they're not hitting very well situationally, the best opportunities they have in scoring is to try to get Billy Hamilton to at least second base where he can score on really a routine base hit. And that has not happened at this point. And I think that that may be a holdover from the Dusty Baker era. That was not a very good fundamental team the last couple of years. But those are some things that baseball IQ is at this point, you know, these guys are major leaguers, and they should have those, they should have that knowledge already in front of them instead of a situation where they're not finding it.
Well, and you talked about the injuries, Jeff. Obviously, Jay Bruce is back. Joey Votto, they're hoping to get him back soon. I know he's been hitting a little bit and running a little bit. Should Red fans, and I hate to sound negative, but I am sounding, I said I hate to sound negative, but I am. A lot of money given to Joey Votto, and it's not even hit the books yet. We're seeing a series of injuries, it seems like. Is this a concern? Is he going to come back? Is he going to struggle with this all year? Your thoughts on Joey Votto, injury-wise, what's going to happen with him all season? Do they take a chance of bringing him back too soon? What are your thoughts on that whole situation with the injuries and things?
Well, obviously, this current injury is a concern. It's the same leg that he had the knee surgery on in 2012. But I think it's a little premature at this point to question the work ethic and desire to play at Joey Votto. He did play in 161 games last year. He played in 158 the year before he got hurt in 2011. So he has shown Iron Man abilities when he's healthy. Unfortunately, at this point, he's not healthy. It's his quad. It's not his knee. The MRI and the knee said he was fine. But it's taken him 3 weeks to get back, and he still has not yet gone out on a rehab assignment. So I think it's a situation where Reds fans are nervous, and frankly, you know, Joey Votto, since his knee surgery, has really not been the same Joey Votto that we saw in 2010 when the MVP. I think his power has definitely slipped since his knee surgery, and he definitely tends to prefer a walk as opposed to swinging at a bad ball. So, you know, I think the jury's still out on Joey Votto, but as you said, you're right. There's a lot of money on the table for him, and Reds fans are holding their breath that he comes back soon. I think the other issue is, you know, we're a month and a half, basically almost 2 months, removed from what's coming up with the trade deadline. And, you know, Bob Castellini is a guy that wants to win at all costs. It would not surprise me if the Reds are at least 7.5 out or more come trade deadline time, July 31st, you may see this team enter into a sell mode. Now, the contracts of Joey Votto and Brandon Phillips are probably not ones that are going to be able to be traded for anybody because they're simply high contracts. I wouldn't surprise me if they tried to trade Phillips again. Ryan Ludwig, if he somehow puts together a month or two where he's hitting the ball, you could see him go, and you could see maybe even their core starters, Mike Leake, Johnny Cueto, and Matt Latos are all free agents after the 2015 season. And if the Reds are completely out of it, it may be time to trade one of those guys for some young prospects that are close to being major league ready. And obviously with the draft last night, you have a whole stable full of new prospects.
Yeah, and you bring up the draft last night and the hope of young players, and I know the Reds organization, I think, has tried to do right by their fans these last few years. They've spent some money. They put people out there. They have what you a great haven't been able to produce runs, but that can change. That can change. It could change in this Philadelphia Phillies series. It easily could, and the Reds could get rolling, get hot, and get moving. But speaking of young players, I know you follow all levels of the Reds organization. You're on their young players before most people know about them. The draft was held. How did the Reds come out of it? What are you seeing? What are you hearing? Your thoughts on the draft?
Well, they followed really what they've done. Chris Buckley is the scouting director for the Reds and has done an excellent job the last 5 or 6 years with the draft. And they've really followed their script that they've used in the past. They went with college-level players. They had 3 picks last night. Nick Howard is a right-handed pitcher out of Virginia, has been used both as a closer and as a third baseman. The Reds view him as a starter. He has done some starting this year. He throws 93, 94 fastball as a starter. 98 as a closer, but the Reds view him as a starter. And realistically, he is a kid that is going to be able to sign quickly as soon as his team. In fact, Reds had three picks last night. All three are still playing in the NCAA tournament leading up to the College World Series. So I believe once Nick Howard is done with his season, he will sign. The other draftee last night was a kid I saw last week here in Bloomington, unfortunately beating the Hoosiers, a Stanford shortstop, third baseman, Alex Blandino. And he's another has got some pop in his bat and can hit for average. You know, none of these picks are going to be superstar level players, but all three of these picks are players that can be serviceable starters in the major leagues. I don't think there was, you know, any Willie Mays or even an Eric Davis in this group of three picks. The third guy they picked last night was UC Irvine third baseman Taylor Sparks. You know, the one knock on Taylor Sparks, he's got great power, but he also is very, very strikeout prone, and that's something that, frankly, this Reds team does not need. If his plate discipline improves, then I think he'll be a serviceable third baseman. But in the case of Blandino and Sparks, both those guys are guys that can play other positions. Todd Frazier has seemed to have settled in at third base. He's probably the team MVP at this point, this far in the season. And I would think that these guys could also be, both Blandino and Sparks could also be a corner outfielder. Blandino is probably going to play shortstop, and that may put a little pressure on Zach Cozart, who's great defensively, but his bat has been atrocious thus far this season, and he's only hitting about .214. So Blandino could possibly be ready on this roster as early as next year. Nick Howard, if the Reds decide to use him as a reliever down the stretch this year, he could be called up this year. Taylor Sparks is farther down the road. He's probably going to be viewed as a player that wouldn't come up until about 2016 or 2017.
Great stuff. Great stuff, Jeff. You gave it all to us. And if you are a Reds fan or an enemy of the Reds, you just found out that the Reds have a lot of good things going if they can just get those bats to turn over and get that ball in a position to score some runs. This team will be solid the rest of the way because, as you said, Jeff, the pitching has been great, the defense has been great. And those are two critical things that when it comes playoff time, you got to have. They just need the bats right now.
Absolutely. And unfortunately for the Reds, there's not much – at the high minor league level right now that can help them. They have to do it with what they have. But there are a couple players. Jesse Winker is at high A Bakersfield. I think he's going to be a guy you're going to see in a Reds uniform next year, and he is an outstanding outfielder, an unbelievable hitter, and he's probably the best hitter in the Reds minor league system, and hopefully he arrives in Cincinnati soon.
Well, great stuff. Let's hope the Reds get those bats going. They've got the Philadelphia Phillies coming in town. And, hey, we'll take a look at them in a few weeks. We'll talk to you then.
That sounds great, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, you too. Hey, folks, you know, a lot of Red fans listen to the show, and so do Cardinal fans. In fact, I just got a tweet or a text, excuse me. Lives in Illinois, and he says, I'm an Illini fan, and I'm a Cardinal fan. And when the Reds lose, I'm happy. Oh, you hear it all on the Coach K and Joe Show. Hey, we're going to take a break. I want to thank our contributor, Jeff Cochran, for coming on and talking about Reds baseball. We've talked about the Spurs and the Heat. We've talked about high school baseball. We've talked about the Reds. We've got French Open to talk about yet. We've got some high school dealings going on in Indianapolis to talk about yet. It looks like Cathedral High School, parochial private school, recruiting school, it looks like. A couple players moving over from North Central. We'll talk a little bit about that. We've got Who's Hot, Who's Not coming up with Don Schulteis. Calipari's contract went up. Nick Saban's contract went up. Kaepernick's contract went up. My only question as we go to break is, when is Coach K's contract going to go up? I guess we'll have to talk to executive producer at some point. We know who that is. That'll be a struggle for sure. Talk about Scrooge. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Hey, you guys, I'm going on, so...
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is John Goldsberry, former Boilermaker and Buffalo Bill, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Love that song by Jerry Reed. It's a great song from the back in the day. And it ushers in our popular, ever popular segment with Don Schulteis, our indie contributor. Who's hot? Who's not? Welcome to the show, Don. I know that in San Antonio it was hot in the gym. Let's find out who's hot and who's not on your list.
Absolutely. That actually heads off my hot list, Coach. For those that listen or watch the game, know this, others that have heard a little bit about it, but the air conditioning in the San Antonio basketball arena went out last night, and the temperature was sweltering, according to Coach Pop and one LeBron James. They were putting ice packs on the back of their necks to cool down as they came out of the game. Fans were, you know, undressing, literally undressing to cool down. And I heard beer sales went through the roof last night. So San Antonio Arena unplugging that air conditioner to cause the heat to rise in the arena. You are hot.
Let's give the head of maintenance a little hot pat on the back, too, because he knew where to pull it out, when to pull it out, and it worked out well for the Spurs.
Yeah, no doubt about it. In fact, LeBron was quoted as saying between one dead ball, they're trying to smoke us out of here tonight. So, and he ended up cramping, and boy, the Twitter, the tweets and the airwaves are just loaded with haters for LeBron saying he's soft and so on and so forth. But if anybody's ever had cramps, Coach, you cannot play when you're cramping up.
No, you're debilitated. We talked about it earlier on the show. I mean, you know, when you go out, even as old as I am, you go out and do your jogs and your runs and you play some pickup ball. That night, all of a sudden, your arches cramp up or something. It's absolutely agonizing. I do not blame LeBron James for that. You can't play through a cramp. It's just not possible.
All right, on the not hot side, Coach, I'm going to lead off, and you may have talked about this. I wasn't able to catch the first part of the show due to a scheduling conflict, but baseball player, manager, and executive Don Zimmer dies at the age of 83. Sad day for baseball. He died earlier this week, and his professional career spanned 66 years, which included for playing for the great Casey Stengel and managing the future Hall of Famer and soon to retire Derek Jeter, who I was not able to see in St. Louis last week. He will definitely be missed, and it's just not a hot thing for baseball with the death of Don Zimmer.
Great guy. Popeye was awesome. Played with Jackie Robinson as well. Got to hang out with Babe Ruth before he passed. Don Zimmer, he was one of those transcendent figures to the game of baseball. And it is a cool day for baseball with the loss of Don Zimmer.
on the hot side, Southeastern Conference, known as the SEC, announced this week that they will be distributing, get this, over $309 million to its 14 member institutions. The money comes from football and basketball TV contracts, bowl games, the league championship in football, and the men's basketball tourney. 14 teams dividing just below $310 million. Coach, the SEC and its member schools are red hot this week. And that's why Nick Saban is going to make about $6.9 million going forward. Not only do the alumni have deep pockets, Don, but the conference itself, pretty green, pretty green. They're hot, no doubt about it. On the not-hot side, Coach, new Knicks president, Phil Jackson, the Zen Meister, and he's got more NBA championship rings than he has fingers, I think. He is being fined $25,000, which is really a drop in the bucket as far as his affecting his bank account. But just the negative PR. The NBA is fining him $25,000 for tampering with veteran guard Derek Fisher of the Oklahoma City Thunder, who is expected to retire, but he's still under contract with the Thunder. Jackson made a statement earlier in the week that Fisher, and I quote, he is on my list of guys that could be good candidates to coach the Knicks, and he gets slapped with a $25,000 fine, I guess for urging him to retire so that he could be considered. So new Knicks president, the Zen Meister, Phil Jackson, you are not hot. And, Don, I think this will not be the last time that Knicks president Phil Jackson ends up on the not hot list. I just got a feeling. I just got a feeling he's going to have his moments with the Knicks.
I tend to agree. Now, getting back to your point about Nick Saban, he is on my hot list this week, and you've already let the cat out of the bag on his big contract, but I'll give you a little bit. Nick Saban, Alabama's football coach, agreed to a new 8-year contract. He will make over $55 million over that period. Get this, he's going to make $6.5 million annually, and they name it as a quote-unquote talent fee. That's what he's getting paid for, his talent fee. And he'll make $400,000 a year as a completion bonus, and other incentives every year to total over that 8-year period, $55 million. Now, get this, his offensive coordinator, Lane Kiffin, will make over $2 million over a 3-year period. So that SEC money at Alabama is being quickly spent, but Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin, you guys are hot.
You know, Don, just real quickly, I don't get the Lane Kiffin stuff. He struggles everywhere he goes. He gets paid a lot of money. He doesn't finish a contract. Now, like, Nick Saban brings him into Alabama. Wow. Well, at least Nick has the completion part of the contract incentive with the $400,000. I don't get it, but.
Yeah, these offensive coordinators, and you mentioned Louisville's new assistant basketball coach, they are starting to rake in some hefty salaries, and they're not even getting, you know, taking the heat. I guess they'll take the heat from the head coach if something happens. On the not hot side, a Brazilian judge sentenced the son of soccer great legend Pelé to 33 years in prison, Coach. He was caught money laundering for a huge drug gang in Brazil. So, son of soccer legend Pelé, you're going to spend 33 years in prison, and you are not hot.
And I guarantee
They don't have air conditioning in those prisons.
For sure. All right, on the hot side, one Paul George was named to the third-team All-NBA this week. And as a result, this is the second time he has earned this award, Coach. And as a result, and I didn't even know there was a rule named after Derrick Rose, but the Derrick Rose rule has kicked into his contract because he just signed an extension a year or so ago. And so going forward in 2014-2015 season, he qualifies through a players' collective bargaining agreement to make as much as 30% of the total Pacers' salary cap. Now, because he is the guy that he is, Coach, he negotiated in his contract that he wouldn't take 30%. He's only going to take 27% of the salary cap. So they don't know what the salary cap will be for next year yet, but they are estimating that he'll be making over $7 million kicking in next year, could be more, and that's up from, I think, a $3.325 million contract that he earned this past year. So, Paul George, despite your up-and-down and all-around performance down the stretch of this season, including the playoffs, you are hot this week with that bank account. Let's hope he can be a leader next year. Now, Coach, I'll end the not-hot segment by announcing that North Central High School basketball head coach Doug Mitchell has had a tough week. He has lost the best player in the state by the name of, well, in the 2016 graduating class. His name is Aaron Gordon. Yes, he is the brother of Eric Gordon and Evan Gordon. He had announced earlier this week that he is transferring to Cathedral High School for the remaining 2 years of his high school eligibility. Now, that's not all. He then loses his starting sophomore guard from the team that was Aaron Gordon's running mate, averaged just under 8 points. His name is Jordan Walker. He also announced that he will be transferring to Cathedral High School.
Are you listening, HSAA?
And I heard, this hasn't been confirmed yet, but I heard there was another player that his mother got a new job in Nashville, Tennessee. There'll be a third player that will be leaving, not transferring to another high school here in the city, but leaving the state and enrolling in a high school down in Nashville. But head coach Doug Mitchell for North Central High School boys basketball, he has suffered two for sure, maybe a third starter leaving his team in just a couple of days. I'd say, Coach, you've been there. Head coach Doug Mitchell, North Central boys basketball, you are rock bottom, not hot this week.
Don, have you heard? I know you're pretty connected in up there on the high school basketball stuff. Have you heard reasons for them leaving? Was this? I mean, Doug Mitchell is considered when he left college coaching as an assistant, I think he was at Butler when he took the job. He took a program. You talk about a rock-bottom, not-hot program. He took that program over and really built it into a pretty consistent winner. I'm not talking anything, you know, state champion every year, but a consistent, successful program overall. Do you have any idea of what happened there, or just this? It's too early to tell?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't come out officially and announced why. There was a quote by Aaron Gordon that things started out last season good, but continued to deteriorate throughout the season. And by the end of the season, it was a very rocky type of environment. So, you know, I don't know any specifics. I'm sure there'll be more coming out, and maybe if you get Kyle Niedenrip on in one of the future shows, he might have a little bit more perspective on that. But I've heard all kinds of things, Coach, and it probably wouldn't be to anybody's benefit for me to just roll out a bunch of rumors. But needless to say, there must have been some major conflict going on with regards to just the overall program environment, because not only has young Mr. Aaron Gordon transferred, but, you know, you've got another one leaving and a third. Yes, the mother got ahead another job out of state, but you know as well as I do, when things are going well, you know, kids tend to stick around. So we'll see what happens, but I don't know anything officially.
So, okay.
Let me end this segment this week, Coach, and Joe's not going to like this, but I have to say this for us IU football fans that suffer year in and year out with this program, that this week the IU football staff and program did pick up what appears to be a major big-time recruit in Decatur Central's Tommy Stevens, quarterback. He's going to be graduating in 2015, he'll be entering his senior season. Stevens is known as a dual threat. He was ranked 15 nationally in the class of 2015. Last year he passed for 1,596 yards and ran for another 785 yards, leading an offense that averaged almost 47 points a game. And this, according to a lot of pundits out there and a lot of articles and people that claim they know, we'll have to ask Bill Somm if this is accurate, but Tommy Stevens is coming on to the IU football program, and I would say, at least for this week, Coach, the IU football program is hot.
I love it, Don. I love hearing positives about IU football. I know Coach Wilson has come out publicly and stated at a recent IU gathering of alumni and fans that absolutely the defense will put the ball back in the offense's hands quite a few more times this year than in past years. And, boy, is that good news for us. And you know what? If you stirred Joe up a little bit, that's okay. That's okay. He needs it.
Well, Joe,
Joe,
let me tell you this, that if there's anything hot coming out of Purdue here in the next, you know, anytime, I'll add it to the list. It's been difficult.
Here goes Joe. He gets to play with the control board. Laughter, flushing of the toilet. But, Don, let's face it. The only thing being flushed is Purdue's potential. It's all flushed.
There you go. All right, Coach, that rounds it out for this week.
Thanks for being with us, Don. We're going to go to a short break. When we come back, hey, it's like the Wild West up in Indianapolis, high school recruiting. You know, a school's going after, bringing players in, players at 16 and 17 years of age deciding to jump ship and run out. IHSA has no more control. State legislature has opened this thing up where it was supposed to help. I don't know that it's helping now, and I was one of the proponents of the voucher system, but not for the reason of athletics. not for the reason of some of this stuff that's going on. Yeah, I know the ITSA listens to the show occasionally. Folks, you gotta get it under control up there. We're going to go to break. We'll talk about that and a lot more. The mailbag's coming up. You're listening to Ken Schulteis on the Coach K and Joe Show, and Joe, too.
This is Tony Uvalar with Uvalar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Uvalar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories. And they're all priced to sell. Some are certified, and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Uvalar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
It's not the U.S. Postal mailbag. It's not the Joe mailbag. It's the Coach K mailbag.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers! Coach K speaks the truth! Woo!
Now here's Coach K and Joe with this week's Coach K's mailbag.
All right, we're back on the Coach K and Joe show. We get the... I'm sorry.
Coach, okay, sorry, that was my mistake. I muted myself while you and Donnie were talking, and I was talking, and I realized I wasn't coming through, and then I hit the button, and you started talking.
That was the best part of the show. That was the best part of the show. Hey, Joe, before we get to the mailbag, let me throw this at you, because you have your opinions, too. I mean, what's going on up in Indianapolis where you've got two of the top players transferring to the same high school, a private school, also known as a Catholic school, up there, Cathedral. I've said it before on the show, and, I mean, I think the ITSA is one of the best-run organizations for high school athletics. They're absolutely number one when it comes to how they handle things in the state of Indiana among any of their peers, without equal. I really do believe that. But I guess Indianapolis has just gotten too big. Fort Wayne not far behind. Evansville sitting there lurking. It just seems like, to use an analogy, it's the Wild West up in Indianapolis.
Well, let me go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and ask this question so we can answer it now, because we might answer this during this discussion. Coach, with the voucher system that you discussed just now in place, does this give the private schools a total unfair advantage over the public schools? Why can't Southridge go out and get players from all around DuBois County? Coach, I wanted to go ahead and ask that so we can answer the question.
Hey, I understand what they're saying. I know that was a concern. It wasn't of the legislature when they put the voucher system in. And I'll be honest with you, folks, whether you like me for it or not, I know some people didn't like me for it. Others did. I worked for the voucher system to be in place. I went out and talked to state legislature people about it, because I was a proponent of what I thought it could do in the urban, and I'm talking about the large urban areas, from an educational standpoint. There is a difference in school corporations. There is a difference in what's being done in those schools. Not because there's not good teachers, not because there's not good administrators, but just on where they're at, the type of families, and you can say, well, that's not very nice, Coach K. I thought you're a Christian. Yeah, I am. But there are people who are born into families and grow up in families where education still is not important. Preparing their kids to be good students is not important. And there's no emphasis placed on it. And so the voucher system was put in place to allow some of those families who would never, ever have another chance to get those kids into a better school environment. I think all schools have outstanding teachers. And I'll tell you something else. I know that even the best schools don't have good teachers. But the environment is critical. So there's a lot of great teachers out there in schools with a poor environment, schools with a great environment. I applaud them. I applaud their administrators. I applaud their efforts. The state makes it tough on them sometimes. The voucher system was not created to be a free pass for kids to go from one school to the next, for coaches to recruit players in. Is it an unfortunate deficiency of it? Yes. Did it open a back door? Yes. Did it leave a gray area? Yes. Does it make the IHSA kind of step back and let it happen because they don't think they'll be able to stand up to it in court on some of these transfers? I believe so, and I think they'd probably be mad at me if they're hearing this. But I believe that. I believe they've backed off. And as far as a Southridge, because this is the question, being able to do it, I think some public schools do it. You used to not be able to cross school corporation lines unless you lived over in that school corporation of that school. You can now. We have people down in Evansville, Indiana. I'm sure it goes on in a lot of places. They don't live in the Castle District. They go there. They built North High School. Former Superintendent Vince Bertram, they can say he didn't do that. Yes, he did. I know he did. I know that was part of their plan because I was in some level of administration at the time in the private school sector, and one of the reasons was we're going to get kids from Gibson County and Posey County to cross county lines and come to North High School, therefore giving North High School more state money because it's based on your student population. That hasn't happened yet. North High School has been a drain, but potentially it's going to be a positive situation. It's a good school, very good school. And as far as Southridge, Joe, you just told me about a young student who lives in Huntingburg and got a pass to come to Jasper High School because he went to Holy Family, to a Catholic grade school. There's no Catholic high school in Jasper, but yet you said the IHSA was giving him a pass. He lives in Huntingburg, and they're going to let him go to Jasper High School. So yep. There is it isn't a voucher situation, don't get me wrong, but it just, I'm telling you, the lines are really blurry right now. They're gray. And to our mailbag question, no, that's not what the vouchers were meant to do, but yes, in sadly, it's true, the voucher system does do that. Now, somebody asked me the other day, they said, Coach, if you're coaching again, wouldn't you want those players? Yeah, I would. I absolutely would. But there's the educator in me as well. Even though my desire to coach again is I just want to coach, and that's not easy to do because most schools want you to also be on the staff as a teacher, thing that I think I bring. I've been a teacher, been in some administration. I understand that, but my focus is to just take a coaching salary and coach. Be at the school every day, but just focus on the coaching part with that educational background. Having said that, Joe, my point again is the voucher system is giving people and coaches an opportunity for a backdoor free pass, but that's not what it was intended to do.
Okay. Do you want to continue? Are we done with the subject, or do you want to continue on with it, or do you want to go to the next mailbag question?
I just want to mention that this is why a lot of coaches in football, Joe, and you know this because you are a big follower of high school football, and this is going to start it in basketball, I can promise you, because they are very passionate. The coaches I know up in Indianapolis are very passionate high school coaches. This is why every year comes up that there should be a separate state tournament or class for private and parochial schools. That there should be, they should just be put in a separate class, a separate division, because there is a feeling that, and this isn't true for all of them, but I'm sure in Indianapolis for quite a few of them, possibly Cecina, which I have friends at, possibly Guerin Catholic, which I have friends at, possibly Cathedral, a few others, where this goes on. And I know that you defend it by saying, you can defend it by saying we offer a better opportunity, we offer a better product, that's why the kids come. Well, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But just remember, Cathedral and other schools may be mad about it. Cathedral, you know, I wish Don was still on the line with us, Joe. Remember, Cathedral lost a very good player last year to La Lemure, a prep school in Indiana up near, I think near Logan
LaPorte.
Port. LaPorte. La Lemure. Remember, they lost one of the best players in the state of Indiana coming back to him and his younger brother, to La Lemure. So maybe Coach Fagan and the Cathedral staff, which a former Purdue assistant, Kendrick, his son is an assistant there, Frank Kendrick's son, maybe they decided, hey, if La Lemure is going to do this stuff, there's a back door here, there's a gray area, we'll do it. Now, if Coach Fagan finds out I said this, or Frank Kendrick, hey, come on the show, defend it. And maybe it was simply those kids felt like what was going on at North Central was not a good environment, was not good for them, was not preparing them to move forward, and they chose Cathedral. It's just strange that they chose Cathedral, and two of them are coming over. So I'll leave it at that, and if we get some feedback, some pushback, I'm okay with that, folks. I'm not saying anything that I wouldn't stand and talk about in person, one-on-one. I'm not saying that Cathedral's bad or that Coach Fagan's bad. I'm not saying that. They do a great job. It's a great school. Great school. What I'm saying is that this kind of, it kind of creates an issue. And if I'm public school coaches, I don't blame them if they start looking at the same opportunities. I don't blame them if they start looking for the back door, the gray area. If they think they've got a great program and a great product, why not bring them in, Joe? See, you know, you want a level playing field. It's hard enough to win. You want a level playing field. All right, let's move on, Joe.
Okay, I've already got this website pulled up because the next question is, do you think the IU football Hoosiers can get to six victories this year and make it to a bowl game? Coach, before you answer that, I figured I'd go ahead and go down the schedule with you, and maybe you can give me the W and L, and then you can have your answer a little bit better. So first game is Indiana State at home.
Win?
Bowling Green at Bowling Green.
W?
At Missouri.
Oh.
That's
I don't know.
While you're making it happy.
Question mark.
Okay, I'll wait a minute. Wait, just a second. Just one second. Where is it at? I wasn't down far enough. Okay, why is it not shutting off now? I'm going to go ahead and answer that one for you. That's a loss.
No question mark.
Or not. I'm sorry. Maryland.
Question mark. When?
North Texas.
W all the way. W?
Hopefully they have a little bit better than the last time they played North Texas. At Iowa.
At Iowa, W.
Michigan State at home. That's definitely
W. That's a W.
At Michigan. I think it just keeps getting better. I'm glad I pulled this up. Penn State.
W.
At Rutgers.
W.
And Ohio State.
Probably, there's probably a few more L's in there, but there's definitely, Joe, there's definitely six victories in there, possibly seven.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Coach. We're going to do this right now. We're going to bet a night at Wings and Rings. Our wives are invited. The loser picks up the tab. Not Mike Bartley. Mike Bartley didn't have to. We have to pick up. Are you accepting the challenge or not?
I'm not going to give a final record in June on the IU football team. I will
no,
tell
the question
you,
was no the question was will they get to six victories?
Yes. They will have six well, wins, and I'll bet you dinner within reason, a reasonable dinner, not you sitting there for 5 hours ordering all the new micro brews and everything they have. Those Yardo
That's
beers
okay.
that they have. You're
okay.
you're limited to one Yardo beer.
Okay. One what are they is that what they call them, Yardo beers?
I call them a
okay.
Yardo beer. I don't know what they're called.
Okay, and since we've talked about Mike Bartley in Wings and Rings, maybe he'll throw the second one in for free. Okay, I got one more last question. I only got three questions this week, okay? And the last one is, do you think that the Heat can beat the Spurs? My opinion is yes. What is yours?
I think they could, but
it's going to be hard.
I think they definitely can. I think that this next game is critical. And I think it was against the Pacers with the, if the Heat can walk out of San Antonio with a win out of one of the first two games, I think they really put themselves in a position to win. And you might say, well, it's still seven games. Well, stealing a win early in the series at home against the team, I think is big. I really do. I think it's big mentally. It's big physically. So the longer the series – I said this against Oklahoma City. I said it in every series the Spurs have been in. The longer the series, the more it favors the opponent, especially the Heat. Now, it is true, Dwayne Wade has been banged up, but he seems to be pretty solid shape right now. Tim Duncan is Tim Duncan most of the time, but not all the time. And the longer the series, the more room for Tim Duncan not to be able to be Tim Duncan. So I thought last night was a huge victory for the Spurs. I really worried about it throughout the game. They got hot down the stretch. It's funny how similar these teams are, how they cancel each other out in a lot of spots. And I think that LeBron James is the difference maker in this series, and you can say, oh, well, that took a lot of knowledge from you, Coach K. Well, if you understand basketball, you understand what I mean by that. But longer the series, the better for the Heat. But if the Spurs can win these first two games, wow, I think that's big. I really do. I think that's big. And if the Heat win one of these first two, which would be Sunday, it really puts the Heat in a good position to win another championship. Having said that, these are the two best teams in basketball. They are well coached. They are veteran squads. They've been here, done that, both of them. And it makes for a great series, Joe. It really does. It makes for a great series.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, I wanted to mention real fast, I've been answering, I guess some Southridge people missed the interview with Coach Shank. I've been getting texts and emails, and if they're still listening, I wanted to let you know that by 12:30 we'll have Coach Shank's interview on our podcast. They just need to go to www.coachkandjoeshow.com, and it'll be on there, and they can listen to it starting at about 12:30 today.
Yeah, they can listen to it in its entirety. Joe, you do a great job of breaking those things out, and it's an interview worth listening to. And I just have to give the Southridge faithful, hey, congratulations, guys, gals. You got a heck of a baseball team there. They did a great job. Not even the rain delays could stop them from winning that sectional after plus years. It's something to be proud of. It makes this coming weekend a lot of fun to look forward to, especially when you're coming to Jasper. Play it, and you're not playing Jasper. You're over there, and you're kind of defending DuBois County while you do it. We might also mention, since we've got those Southridge people listening, Southridge fans and faithful, you're also looking for a basketball coach right now, and that search is underway, and we'll see who comes out of that at the end. But I think that Brett Bardwell, the administration at Southridge as a whole, they've just done a really good job through this last decade or so of putting their kids, their student-athletes in a position to be successful. And they've got good facilities. They've got good coaches. They've got good support in the community. It's always apparent when I drive through Huntingburg, which is often, to see that support. Joe, it really is a solid community.
Yeah, and, you know, the great thing is, you know, I was involved over there for a while, and the thing that I really like about there, and I'm not saying this isn't at Jasper or anywhere else, is the coaches' fraternity. It is truly a fraternity. They really support each other, and, you know, you'll see Coach Winkler and et cetera at the basketball games going nuts, and I'm sure Coach Shank had a bunch of those guys sitting out in the stands this past weekend on Saturday and then again on Tuesday for the championship. And they really do support each other, and they do a great job. It's always been. I know I'm a Jasper guy. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Southridge, just for the fact that, you know, the time I spent over there, there's some great people, and and that's the one thing that always impressed me was how the coaches all support every sport, and they do a great job of doing it.
Well, that's the best environment to be in. Believe me, I've been in an environment like that, I've been in the opposite. And it's just no fun when you're competing against your own people. And you shouldn't have to. Everybody needs to share the best athletes because that's what makes your program great. And everybody needs to try to support the other guys and the other gals because they're working hard. They're taking the same criticism you're taking. They're working hard. And when you share in that success, and usually – when you see success throughout a program, you know that they're sharing the best athletes. And that's great for the kids because that helps the kids get better. You know, a lot of people say, oh, well, if you want to move on, you got to focus and do one sport. That's not true, folks. Focusing on one sport is not the answer when you're in high school. It's not, and especially not in grade school. You learn mentally. You prepare physically, and you grow emotionally playing multiple sports if that's your opportunity. And too many times I hear, well, he's just going to concentrate on this sport. This looks where he's going to be the best. What do you mean at 6, at 8, at 10, at 13, before you get a pimple? You already know what you're going to be best in? Come on. That's, Joe, that's so bogus, it's ridiculous. So kudos to Southridge. Kudos to their athletic administration, their coaches, and their school staff. Joe, probably don't follow this, but you do know that the French Open is going on.
Well, I'm a fan of tennis, but being the Jasper Homer, it's more Jasper related, Scott Yarbrough, et cetera. And while we're on tennis, real quick, before we get on the French Open, I want to congratulate Elizabeth Albrand. She's going to be going to the tennis state doubles championship next weekend, along with Brooke Leakin is her partner. And just wanted to quick congratulate them real fast before we go on with the French Open.
Well, tennis is a big sport nationally, internationally. We don't really hear a lot about it, a lot locally. And for our listeners outside of the Indiana area, and we have quite a few, Joe is talking about some local high school girls. We do have a local high school flavor to the show as well as national and state sports. So the French Open is going on. I was able to see the early rounds. Wish I was in Paris for them, but I wasn't. I was watching them on TV. When Serena and Venus both went out the same day to back matches, Venus gets beat. They were on collision course to play each other in the next round. Venus gets beat by basically an upstart player. And then Serena comes out. I think she was second seed or somewhere in there. She gets beat like in 59 minutes. It was one of the quickest tennis matches I'd ever seen. Was Serena wanting to go home since Venus was going home? I don't know. But those two, and they have a great following, especially if you're just sports-oriented at all. We know about the Williams sisters. They dominated women's tennis for years. Venus is at the end of her career because of injuries. Serena has so many other things going on. But they were out. We do, on the men's side, have a nice little matchup between Nadal and Murray for a showdown. And Andy Murray, of course, the Brit, and Rafael Nadal, who I believe, Joe, and I know I'm wrong on the number, has 6 French Open titles, maybe 7. So he's been phenomenal on clay. Joe, have you ever played tennis on clay?
No, I've not. It's only been on like a high school court. Never grass, never clay.
So you've never had the experience of the grass nor the experience of the clay, just the hard court.
Yes, you're right. That's it.
And when you play on the hard court, can you return the serve?
Oh, yeah. There was a doubles match every Thursday night. So right after getting married, before we started getting kids, a bunch of people. So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you really believe you could have beaten Jay Lorai, a childhood friend of ours? You could have taken him in tennis because you played on Thursday nights in a couples league.
I think that if I could take Jay to snaps before the game and we sat there for about 10 hours, that I might have a chance. Let me preface that with me not drinking and me feeding him shots.
I don't think you could, and I don't think you could beat me in tennis. I absolutely know that you can't beat me in tennis. And
well,
so we might have to try that sometime.
There's a bet that's going to have to, another bet's going to happen right there.
Well, I've gotten better over the years, and I'm sure that you haven't. So I'll just leave it right there, Joe. Oh, Joe, I'm just teasing you. You know that. Big salary contracts. We talked about those earlier. Man, Joe, are you surprised at the kind of money they're paying the college coaches?
Well, I guess it's just like, they take a lot of risk, and their longevity is not really there. But then again, I guess I shouldn't say that. Bobby Petrino, look at all the issues he's had, and he's back in the big time coaching. But it's gotten out of hand. But they're just taking what the market will pay them, and that's what the market's paying. So they're going to get what they can.
And I'm not against that, as I said earlier in the show. It means more opportunity for Coach K to make some money here on the Coach K and Joe Show. Big contract salaries for me as well. All NBA teams, real quickly, Joe, I'm going to throw them out there. Durant, James, Joakim Noah, Chris Paul, James Harden were first-teamers. Stephon Curry, Blake Griffin, Kevin Love. He may get traded. He's coming in the last year of his contract. Dwight Howard, Tony Parker, second team. Third team, Al Jefferson. Of course, we heard Paul George. The Derrick Rose clause kicked in for him, $7 million more. LaMarcus Aldridge, Goran Dragic, and Damian Lillard all made NBA third team. I might also mention for the history buffs, and we never want to forget the sacrifice made. Today is the 70th anniversary, I believe, of D-Day, the invasion of Normandy. Thousands and thousands of soldiers died on those beaches that day. It was the turning point to World War II. It was the turning point to democracy. It was the turning point to freedom, the turning point from right, from wrong, and we appreciate that. We thank Janet Schultheis and Beth Geltz at Edward Jones for reminding us of that. Again, if you've got a 401k that you need to roll over, don't leave it with your employer, or excuse me, your former employer. They don't care anymore. Take it to some people that do care, grow it, perpetuate it, and create a legacy for you. Call Janet Schultheis at Edward Jones, 812-479-8215. Listen, you need to call her right after the show, anywhere in the country, 812-479-8215. She'll work with you to build wealth, to build opportunity, to build a legacy for you and your family. Joe, we're coming to the end.
It's been another good show, and just like I said, I would like to thank Dale Coach Shank for being on, and wish him and the Raiders good luck tomorrow. Coach, do you have any big plans for the weekend?
I'm going to be headed up to Jasper here in just a little bit to watch my nephew, Jacob Bartley, in the golf sectional. So maybe I'll see you out there, and I may stop at Wings and Rings afterwards for hopefully a victory, short victory celebration, at least for me. And I'm going to continue to pursue any opportunity to get back onto the coaching end. Coaches got to coach.
Yes, they do. I'm going to be heading to Bloomington. Reed's got the state track tournament this weekend, or not tournament. I guess it's a championship. I guess it's not actually a tournament, but it's going to, we're excited to go up there. But you know, there's baseball sectionals, there's golf sectional today. There's no excuse to not take your kids out and go to some sporting event. You know, the high school sporting events we promote before every show, the end of every show is a great investment as far as, you know, you can't get a better return on your money, great entertainment for not very much money. So for Coach K, I'm Joe saying we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelor & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.